Hello and welcome to this special episode. Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time fan podcast, Feedback and More episode. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California.
Hey everybody, before we get into the show, I want to give you some great ways that you can connect and interact with us here. Our website address for our podcast is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is blog.onceuponatimepodcast.com. If you want to use our forum web address is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. If you want to email us, you can. We love it. It's feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. If you do want to leave a voicemail, we have a voicemail line for you at 657-333-0626. Our Twitter handle is @OUATpodcast. And we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/OUATpodcast. So stay connected and stay interacting with us. Thank you so much. Welcome, everybody, to another live Once Upon a Time fan podcast, Feedback and More episode. I want to just say hi to everyone that's out there. I can't even believe we do have just so many people listening, and that's so incredible.
We have people on the live show right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yay!
So, Torty Prism is there.
Nice.
Natasha's there. Natasha's there.
Natasha. I mean. Don't say Natasha.
I'm sorry. Malini is there.
Yay.
Dave from Michigan is there.
Serious? Really?
Yeah.
Very cool.
And let's see. Films About Ghosts is there.
Okay.
I saw a message from her as well.
Okay.
And I know that Tyler is doing his taxes. And Tyler's there now. Cool. Excellent.
Awesome.
And Alira's there in the little Mixler box.
Hello. Listening.
So,
and I believe Helga's also listening too, but Helga's she's probably
listening.
Not there. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she is.
Cool. Now, I want to say this too. You just never know who is listening.
Right.
Shannon's there. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, Shannon.
And I want to say hello to any dwarfs that are listening. There is a possibility. You just never know.
Sure. Anybody could be listening.
And
it's open for anybody to listen to.
You bet. And so, I also had one of my tweets retweeted by somebody who was on the crew of Once Upon a Time.
Right. So we might have a crew
this week. We could you never know. So hello, any Once Upon a Time cast or crew. We are so happy that you're here, and we feel that you're part of the greatest show on TV.
Yep.
So I also did get a quick little tweet from Scooter Smith.
Okay.
Who was asking about how he could listen to this show on Roku. And I don't know at this point right now. I know that you can add podcasts to Roku to listen. But I don't know about the live Mixler.
Right.
And I do see that we do have the Once Upon a Time fan podcast deputies are listening.
Nice.
We have deputies that help us out and take care of trolls. And we have a special little message. And let's see. I believe Marlene is here.
Cool.
I believe that is. So it is just fantastic. And we're just gathering more people as we go. And that is absolutely incredible. So
yes.
What we're going to do.
And
is
I
we'll
am
start-
knitting, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I am knitting.
You are knitting.
Because I know somebody else mentioned that they were knitting. I think it was Natasha said she and Malini and I are grannies. We're at granny's knitting.
Well, I have to say, it is one of the most incredible things that once I interviewed Caitlin, this whole knitting thing just kind of happened.
Exploded.
I would have never thought that in a million years. So it's a good thing. It's not
it
a bad thing. But just that was one thing I would never consider. So
yeah, but it's funny because now I notice knitting everywhere. I was just watching While You Were Sleeping, and everything in that movie was knitted. sweaters and scarves and hats and things. And I thought, yeah, I'm seeing it everywhere I go.
Well, and that's another thing is, I don't know if you guys remember when we were doing the interview with Caitlin, she said, and I knitted another something for a future episode. And just the more I watch Once Upon a Time, the more I see a hat and a scarf and all these different things. I think in The Fruit of the Poisonous Tree, I saw Emma wear at least two knitted hats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty, pretty cool. And Red Red Shoes is there. Hello there.
Hello.
And so I think this knitting thing's going to catch on. I just want to tell you.
And the funny thing is it's been going on for years upon years, if not centuries. I'm sure it has been. So it's kind of funny.
So, anyway. Hi, Torty Prison. I don't know that Caitlin made all those Emma hats, but I know that she knitted another item. And from what I understand, there's actually a few folks that knit for the show. And I just think it's awesome that Once Upon a Time actually kind of plugs into the community and says, you know, let's find some artisans that can really help out our show. Mm-hmm. And they get them involved. And I think it's just fantastic. So we were interviewed today.
We were.
There is a podcast. It's called Those Darn Cats.
Yes.
And it's a Disney-ish podcast. And two Disney fans talk about Disney, talk about different things here and there. But they've been great friends of mine for all my different ventures and all my different podcasts before this. And so they interviewed us today. And I think it was so much fun.
It was
different being on the other side.
Yeah, and we're usually the ones asking all the questions.
True.
And today we were giving all the answers.
Yeah. So that was really neat. And so that should be out. I believe it's Valentine's Day weekend.
Valentine's Day is Tuesday, and so she said it was Wednesday the 15th.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry. The middle of the week.
Yeah.
I don't know dates.
That's all right.
I'm not good at it. But anyway, it was a fun interview, and it was really neat to talk to Lisa from Those Darn Cats. So we will definitely let you know that they are when the show's going to be coming up, so you can check it out.
Yes.
So tomorrow is one of those kind of sad low days.
I know.
There's no Once Upon a Time on.
No.
So
there's that big sporting event thing that like a bunch of people are really interested in.
Yeah.
What is it? The World Series?
That's a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's it.
So for the first time, I'm going to a buddy of mine's house, and I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. I don't think I've ever done that, ever. So
nice.
Anyway. But let's see. So Tyler's wondering, is anybody going to get Once Upon a Time Chapter 1 DVD from Target? So I will have, just in case anyone wants to have it, a link to Amazon that you can use a link to buy it from Amazon. And I get a percentage and you get Once Upon a Time DVDs. As a matter of fact, we have set up a link, and it's called store.onceuponatimepodcast.com. And it's a Amazon store for you. So you can go through that link and you can get give a percentage to us and you can get whatever you want from Amazon.
Yeah.
So anyway, you're still knitting.
I am knitting. And actually, I was told by Helga that there is a group on Ravelry, which we've talked about Ravelry. It's a website for knitters. Mm-hmm. And it's huge. That they're dedicated to creating patterns for the show's knits. So that viewers can make them. So they've apparently done two of them so far, the Mary Margaret Tam and Emma's blue cable hat. So they're out there, and I'm sure if you look on Ravelry, if you join Ravelry and you are a knitter, you'd probably be able to look those up and find them.
Yep.
But yes, I am knitting. I'm constantly knitting. I'm going back and forth between knitting and checking Twitter and seeing what all is there. And Yeah, I'm not fond of the taxes either. That's why we have a guy who does them for us.
True.
He's a friend. His wife and I used to work together, and he's just a great guy, and he's been invaluable to us, and so we pay him to do our taxes instead.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. So, but I don't blame you. I don't like doing them either.
No. So we have some emails that we're going to read, mm-hmm. and we're going to go through those.
Cool.
But I kind of wanted to just kind of say, hey, and there's Lane, 1979X. Hello there.
Oh.
Thank you so much for joining us.
I think that's Liz. I think that's her name, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Hello there, and thank you for joining us. And, you know, sometimes people, what's interesting about Mixlr is a lot of the shows are just musical shows. And so I remember week one or two, somebody said, what kind of music is this? And I said, no, it's a fan podcast. And they listened about 2 minutes and they go, I'm going to go now. And I go, well, I know. I mean, you okay. It's not music. I mean, you don't want me to sing. That's at least one person said.
No.
No singing. So,
I am legendary. I sing opera in the shower and my shampoos think I am awesome. All of them.
Yeah, that's true. You do start singing down the hall.
I do.
And I feel like I live with Beverly Sills sometimes. And I hear, and just people, there's people that go, Beverly, who? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Anyway, it is so cool to have Dave from Michigan listening. I got to tell you.
I know.
I think he was one of the early people that called in, mm-hmm. and left a voicemail. So
that's true.
Dave from Michigan, you rock, sir. Very cool. And cool. So Mandy's checking us out on her iPod. That is incredible.
Yay.
That is very, very, very cool. So I think that was it. I think the other thing I wanted to mention is to kind of tide you over from not having a Once Upon a Time Tomorrow is that we are putting some blog posts that are really, really cool. Our deputies are putting up some, and I threw up some today.
Mm-hmm.
That sounded bad. I put some up today. I posted some today. Wow, I got to watch that.
Yes.
So anyway, there. I don't know if anybody noticed, but behind the genie, right as King Leopold ushered him out of his lamp,
yes,
there was this tent right behind the genie.
Hmm.
And I have questions about that tent. I don't know who lives in the tent. It's very, very, it's very festive. It's a very colorful tent. So I don't know if Aladdin lives in that tent. I don't know who lives in that tent. So anyway, but those are the kind of posts that we do. Also, I didn't know if anybody noticed that the genie had a necklace that was a two-headed peacock.
Yes. I noticed the necklace. I didn't really pay too much attention to what it was, but I noticed that it looked like it was two heads wrapping around his neck to meet in the middle.
Right.
And I just didn't see specifically what animal or beast or whatever it was, if it was just design or what. But
I noticed it, and I said, that's very interesting. It was greenish.
Okay.
And then once he became real and Leopold's wish set him free.
As opposed to the mannequin?
When
he
Sorry.
Lost his genie powers?
Yes. When he became human, I guess, or ungenie-ish.
Ungenie-ish.
Then the necklace later on at the palace was not green anymore. So it was almost like the necklace had some type of a genie type of a power that you could see in the color of it. Also, we did a post about the different colors of smoke and what I think they mean.
Yes.
So go and check it out. It's at, wait for it, blog.onceuponatimepodcast.com. So this is only part. This is a good part of what we do, but it's not all of it.
It's not all of it.
The blog actually has a lot more things.
The blog, the forum, the podcast, the site.
Torty Prism asked, did it turn red like the lamp? And it did. It did kind of have a reddish tone, but it wasn't red. It was more kind of gold. It was almost like it turned kind of neutral.
Hmm.
So that's what I saw. But we have screen caps up there that you can take a look at.
Cool.
And there's where that is. So are we ready to read?
Yeah, Natasha just told me I need to break out To Push It by Salt and Pepper.
Okay.
Cool. Mm, I don't know if that, yeah, no, no.
Dance party going on here. Okay.
No, that's a little, yeah, that's a little, yeah, I don't know if I could pull that one off.
And is Manny around?
Manny, I think he posted earlier he wasn't going to be able to make it, but he would listen to it after it was recorded and posted out on there. So
okay, because
unless he snuck it while I wasn't looking.
Yeah, I posted something about a strange man with a cap in Granny's diner, and so one of the screen caps had a rather nice picture, I think, of Jennifer Goodwin, and of course he talked about Jennifer Goodwin in his. anyway, he talked specifically about that. I said, okay, great. What about the guy in the cap? You know,
so. Nice.
Anyhow, we have a special email that was sent to us from the deputies of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast group. So I'm going to read this.
Okay.
It was mysteriously sent.
Mysteriously sent?
By a pigeon. In a flock of birds.
By dove? Carrier dove?
Carrier dove. That also looks like a pigeon. So, a message from the Once Upon a Time fan podcast deputy desk.
Okay.
We have desk for them. That's incredible.
Their virtual desk.
Yes. Howdy. We, the secret deputies, are very excited to be a part of this family. And we're very excited to have them.
We are.
Yes. We are working away, discovering new and interesting ideas we think you that are listening, the viewers and listeners will enjoy. Thank you for taking time to visit the website. And I'll also insert listening to the show live and everything. We love to see your comments on the different blog posts. Don't forget to make your way to the forum for immediate exchange of thoughts and theories. You can follow us at... OUATPC deputies for up-to-date information from our co-sheriffs, Jeff and Colleen. Always remember, as deputies, we are here for you one blog post at a time. And we really thank them.
Yes, we do.
For their hard work.
Because they do put in a lot of hard work.
Yes.
That's very much appreciated.
Yes, they are looking for great new blog posts, and they're taking care of those trolls, and they have special troll dust. There's Manny. Hey, Manny. How you doing, man?
He made it.
He did.
Wow.
He did. He's a big fan of Jennifer Goodwin, but so am I.
Who isn't?
Well.
I mean, seriously?
He really kind of... Anyway, have to read the post. So, I also wanted to let everyone know that David B.
Yes.
Sent us a message and said that the... New Zealanders are going to be getting the Once Upon a Time show on February 9th.
Yay!
So, hello, New Zealand.
Hey, Kiwis.
Welcome to the show. And if you're listening now, excellent.
You know, welcome. New Zealanders are frequently called Kiwis.
Yes, you know that is true.
It's a little tidbit for you.
So, it's really cool that, I mean, they've kind of had to wait a little bit, but... The world is getting...
Yeah, because typically when they do stuff like that, they don't roll it out to the whole world all at the same time.
Yep. So welcome, New Zealand. I hope you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
We are here for you.
Yes.
So we have another email here.
Yes, we do.
From Ruth in Georgia. Hello, Ruth.
Hey, Ruth.
So is it, hi, Colleen and Jeff. I enjoy your show and appreciate the time and energy that goes into it. I love listening. Because I want to hear yours and your other listeners' opinions and ideas about the show, too. It's like hearing friends discuss my favorite show and helps me get new insights and points out things that I may have missed. Here are my 2 cents worth up to this point. I rewatched the scene with Snow White and Rumpelstiltskin on the pier several times. Am I the only one who thinks he just threw the extra strands of Snow's hair over his shoulder and didn't save them? I didn't.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
That's interesting, though. It's almost like he kind of was keeping extra.
He might very well have. I just didn't happen to notice that piece. I guess I was so focused on the conversation they were having that I didn't pay attention to that piece.
Well, it's interesting, too. I think everybody notices different things. I kept thinking about, wait a minute, he popped in the boat out of nowhere. And then I started looking at the lantern. It's funny how people notice and focus on different things.
So. Well, they say, everybody does have a different focus. And, when you have a car accident, the police always get as many witnesses as they can because no two witnesses saw the same thing.
Right. So it says, maybe I'm crazy. Getting back to Ruth's email, but it seems like he holds out his left hand with the bottle in it, and he has the strands in his right hand. Snow takes the bottle, he takes the hair in his left hand, turns around to walk away, and throws the hair over his shoulder. I'm very curious if anyone else agrees. So I'm leaving that out there. And
yeah, I'd have to rewatch that again. I don't remember seeing that, but then, like I said, I was so focused on the actual conversation. I wasn't watching his little movements.
That's what I love that's what I love about this show is that it's not something that you get everything the first time through. And sometimes it's kind of frustrating, but anyway, I like it. So point number two, I think the reveal of the typewriter in the stranger's box is too easy. And I would tend to agree.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be fun if what was inside the box was different for every person that he shows it to? That is a fantastic theory.
Wow.
That is really great.
Yeah. Didn't even go there. That's
you
want to
know why I love this show again?
Yeah.
And this podcast?
Yeah.
That's
the kind of thing. Just these fascinating, scintillating.
We have the best listeners in the world. I'm telling you.
We do. And I'm trying to say something other than fascinating because...
Anyway. Hi, Karen. Thanks for joining us. Very,
Karen?
Very cool.
Hey, Karen.
Yep. And if it was a typewriter for Emma, the reason is still to be determined. And it's something else to each person depending on their personal experience. And he's some kind of con artist or Casanova. So I'm going to do some research in my Grimm's fairy tales for a character like this. Just a thought. That was fantastic. Wow. So, number three, another crazy speculation that I can't get off my mind is, what if Henry wrote the book? Somehow they break the curse. Henry grows up and writes the book. Maybe the last episode could show him reading it to his grandchild. I know there are some holes in the theory, like how does he get the book as a kid? I haven't figured that part out. Back to the drawing board.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, another interesting idea is that sometimes we do see the beginning part. And, that's interesting. I think anything is on the table.
Well,
but,
sure.
She says, have a great week, and I look forward to hearing your next podcast. And thank you so much, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth.
For your fantastic email and great theories.
Oh, yeah.
So, let's see. The next one is... someone letting us know that the casting call that we read... emails from Master of Money, and it says that... the casting call we read was not for the stranger. It was about an upcoming character.
And that's why it made more... why I was like, the stranger has a daughter? And I thought, well, all right. And maybe I clearly misunderstood what was written there. I didn't,
So...
anyway.
We made a mistake. We are sorry. And we look forward to hearing... seeing this person in the future.
So there is a new character then, which is a good thing, that we don't know about, but we don't know what this character's, what they're going to do, how they're going to appear, who they are, other than the name Jefferson, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, Jefferson,
I don't think it's George Jefferson, though.
Oh, my Lord. No, honey. I think the knitting's going through your head.
Go ahead.
All right, then. We have another email, ladies and gentlemen. And Colleen is going to continue to knit there.
Yes.
So this is from Hillary in Colorado. Hi, Hillary.
Hi, Hillary.
Thank you again so much. Hi, guys. So I think the casting call you read for The Stranger was actually a casting call for a different character.
Yes.
So, it's for an upcoming character coming soon.
Soon.
In the future.
Yes.
So that is that.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. We kind of blew it there.
Yep.
What can I say?
Not the first time.
No, it's not.
So, this is from George. And let's see. Hey, guys, thanks for putting on your show. It's a decent outlet to discuss the show. I think they can't all be awesome shows, but I was really disappointed with this episode. The entire show was very predictable. And he's talking about the episode of Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
If you didn't like the episode of Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, I think it'd be going on iTunes or something.
Yeah, I'm sure that's where it'll be.
Anyways, I just want to clarify.
Yeah, no.
So, I was really disappointed with this episode. The entire show was very predictable from beginning to end. And there was no end of episode tension for what's coming up next. I'm not sure that Claire is going to be enough to boost her episode's ratings. Oh, well. Hopefully you guys already secured the touchfanpodcast.com domain name. Because if there are more episodes like last night's of Once Upon a Time, we might be in for a short run. Keep up the good work, George. So this is what I was alluding to.
Okay.
These are the emails that I got very soon after the episode aired. So I was kind of like, ooh.
And by Claire, wow. He means Emily DeRavin, who plays Belle.
Yes, that's right.
For those who are not familiar with Lost.
So,
because not everyone is.
True. But, I mean, you know, a lot of people that I had read things from kind of feel the same way, as it was not the strongest episode.
Sure.
And that kind of a thing.
But again, so. I mean, I think if you look at most any show that you've watched, any series that you've watched, there's always been one or two episodes that were, you know, they were okay. They weren't as strong as, you know, a few others. I mean, we really right. liked Big Love, and there were only what we would consider maybe a handful of, like, standout episodes. I mean, there weren't that many to begin with because it was a fairly short-run show, and they
right.
didn't do full seasons like normal. But, I mean, there were a handful of episodes that were like, oh, my God, those were amazing episodes.
Yeah.
And the rest of them were really good. But, you know, they can't right. all be home runs. They just can't.
Yeah, and, you know, we definitely want to hear from all sides.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, I hope that we're all fans,
mm-hmm.
meaning that we kind of move forward with it. But
sure.
I wanted to kind of let everybody, you know that there are people that kind of feel very differently about the last episode.
Well, and I mean, I'm going to be honest. I thought it was a great episode. It wasn't my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Desperate Souls by far was still my favorite episode.
Yeah.
You know, and still Small Voice was close second.
Right.
So, I mean, there have been episodes that I think were much better than this past week's episode, but it was still a really good episode, and I still love the show.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they can all be home runs.
Right.
But I think that once you kind of get into the rhythm of it and you really like the characters and then the storyline per
mm-hmm.
se, you kind of just kind of go with it. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay. Next email is from Shirley. Hi, Shirley.
Yeah.
I don't quite know where to start. So you kind of know where this is going right from the beginning.
Okay.
Let me first say, on a cheesy storyline factor, it was a 7.75. I'm conflicted. I either didn't like it because I don't like Sydney's character at all in brackets, or Lana's acting was so good that I really hate her. Does Emma ever get a break? In retrospect, it was probably a little of both. I get where this is going. The hero gets knocked down a few times, then comes back swinging, victorious at last. It's just painful to watch. Let me sum it up with this. I won't be watching it, the episode, again.
Mm.
Too bad, because I love the show in general, at least the premise. Thanks for the podcast, Shirley. So you kind of see, I'm just,
yes.
See?
Yes. And,
okay.
and you know, look. Let's face facts. Lana was so good in this episode. She really was.
Yeah.
I mean, that sweet, syrupy voice. I was like, well, maybe this is what made her so evil. And then I'm like, by the end, I'm like, no, she was pretty much evil before this. And that's how good she is. She is so good.
Yeah. Yep. True. All right. One more email. Well, with that in my mini stack.
I was going to say, Tyler brought up a point of there's an example of the TV show with bad episodes with Stargate SG-1. Mm-hmm. It ran 10 years and there was apparently some seasons that were maybe not as good as the others.
Yeah. So. Yep. And I think that happens.
Oh, yeah. It does.
So the next episode is from Christy. Hi, Christy.
Me in the next email.
Sorry. What did I say?
Next episode.
Wow. Sorry.
Just made
Please
me
don't laugh. Review this
it just,
show.
It just made
Please
me laugh.
Please don't review this show. I mean, you know.
Yeah, just, it made me laugh.
All, you know, all talking and anyway. So the next email is from Christy, and I think the name kind of, it's my first wife's name, but I know you're not my first wife, so it's fine. You would think that Sydney's fairy tale alter ego, the genie, mm-hmm. would know how to make a proper wish after his many years of observing others make wishes.
Yes.
His final wish to be with Regina for the rest of her life and always look upon her was way too vague. I can bet he's seen these kind of sweeping generalization emails turn out horribly during his genie tenure. I love that genie tenure. That's mm-hmm. pretty funny. So he should have known better.
Right.
Guess he was too blinded by both love and rage to think clearly while proclaiming his final wish. Poor genie. It's from Christy. P.S. Colleen, I'm feeling the Mr. Gold vibe last night too. You're not alone. So there you go. So
I'm telling you, there's Sheriff Grandma's hot, but there's Mr. Gold. There's something about Rumpelstiltskin that's just, yep. We had that conversation on the interview this morning too,
yeah.
with Lisa.
Yep. So yeah, that was,
now yeah. She personally does love,
well,
Sydney.
Okay. Hold on. Let's go back. Let's talk about Chrissy's point about Jeannie's wish.
Okay, yeah.
And that's a valid point. And I you know, the one thing it was hard for the episode. I think any episode you'll notice that things have to move so fast that decisions have to be made instead of kind of easing into something or changing someone's mind. It's almost fairly instantaneous. So
right.
Anyway.
No, that totally, yeah. No, I'm with you.
But yeah. It did happen. He was enthralled by her, and so, you know, he
right. And remember, the one thing he wanted was true love, and he was willing to do anything to get it. And I think he really truly just was so desperate for it, to use their word that they like to use. I think he was so desperate for it, he didn't care how he ended up with her. He just wanted to be with her and figured if he wished for it, it would. You know, I think we as human beings make these grandiose plans and wishes, and sometimes life kind of throws us a little curveball where the thing we wish for is, yes, we want this, but we are expecting it to come in a package that looks like this.
Right.
But instead, we get the same exact thing, only the package looks a little different. And we're frequently disappointed because, wait, I wanted that package.
True.
But this other thing is the exact same thing. It's just a different package.
I wish that she would have kissed him or something mid-show so that we could have seen her kind of locking him in. Because maybe that was kind of the tough part for me. It was like, you know, you just kind of looked upon her and you fell in love and that's it. That's how it happened. So
in some fairy tales, I think that's
okay,
really,
fair enough.
If you think about it, it's love at first sight. I mean, people say that all the time. Oh, it was love at first sight. Mm-hmm. Did you or did you not say that you fell in love with me at first sight?
I did.
See?
Right.
I hadn't kissed you.
Right. That's true.
I didn't even kiss you on our first date.
I felt sad about that. Anyways, so we are going to move on, and Colleen now has to lay down her knitting needles.
I do?
And read email.
Or you
There's
could just...
A stack of, oh, know, no, no, could... no. We got to share this.
Really? All right. Well, at least I'm at a good stopping point for a moment.
I think you're doing great with that.
Yeah. My scarf is now roughly 13 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah.
Yeah. Natasha Charlie is one of the characters in Lost, that other show that we talk about sometimes. And Lana was in Lost as one of the evil henchwomen of the bad guys. And so, yeah.
Yes, that is true. That is very true. Okay, so we have an email here from outside of the United States.
Excellent.
And this is how far outside of the United States it's from. It's from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Very good.
That's pretty awesome. So she says, hi, Jeff and Colleen. My name is Mari. I'm assuming it's Mari, maybe Mary, but Mari. And I just wanted to say hi from sunny South Africa. So hello, South Africa. Wow. Or I believe Jumbo is the right word to say for hello.
But wow. I'm
telling you, I have all kinds of wacky
goodness
little...
Goodness gracious.
Just random trivial facts in my head. They come out every once in a while. So, Once Upon a Time is my new obsession, and I just love your podcast. I only started listening to it recently, but I'm slowly catching up. I have two things I would like to mention. The one is, in episode 11, Regina was tearing down Henry's castle, and he was looking for his book. And the end of the episode, we see the stranger opening the box where Henry was hiding the book. Do you think it's possible he might... Wow. Do you think it's possible he might, for some reason, be the writer of the book? I was also thinking he might be a future Henry, but that sounded a little bit far-fetched. We have talked a little bit about this, and we do go back and forth between him being the author of the book, or if it's Rumpelstiltskin, or somebody completely different we don't even know about yet. So it's kind of an up in the air, and... you know, there's a possibility. It almost seems too obvious, but then sometimes the obvious is the actual thing. So we'll see how it pans out. And then the fact that he could be a future Henry, what came to my head was Terminator. You know how?
Yeah.
John, what was his name? John?
Connor.
That's it. I almost said Carpenter, and I almost said Carter, and I knew that wasn't right either.
No, that's a movie from Disney coming out, but it's different.
Yeah, but John Connor came back from the future to his young self to kind of stop everything. So who knows? You know, you just never know. Also, going back a little to the episode with Cinderella, there's a lot of speculation of Joe and Snow. I'm having trouble reading. Do you see why I wanted you to keep reading?
Hang in there.
There's a lot of speculation if Snow and James had been married by then. Here are my thoughts. Snow and James might already be married, and Snow could also be barely pregnant. She gave birth to Emma before Cinderella gave birth. Don't you think that if Cinderella's baby was born in Fairytale Land, that we would see the baby in the real world instead of seeing her pregnant? And I would agree with her on that. So, yeah, because if Cinderella's baby had been born in Fairytale World, we would have seen that child come through. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I would agree with her on that. Episode 11 was not one of my favorite episodes, but I do hope that the stranger will be a good guy and be someone who will help Emma out of trouble, because it looks like, because by the looks of the end of episode 11, she's going to need some saving. Thank you so much for a great podcast. And thank you, Mari.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening and emailing it.
My apologies for having speaking trouble during your email. Okay, next one is we have Mandy sends us an email, and she says, hey, Jeff and Colleen, after watching Fruit of the Poisonous Tree on Sunday and the scene in which the evil queen manipulates the genie to kill the king, I had a question. Do you think she has always been evil, and will we see her actual story? I know you guys mentioned every villain has their story as to why or how they became evil. And she says, oh, P.S., my roommate and I really love your show and watch Once Upon a Time obsessively every week. So, yes, Mandy, thank you. And as far as her being evil, I still say that at some point in time, something happened to her to make her that way. How far back in her, you know, her life was she a child?
Let's do this then. Let's make this kind of assumption is that the evil queen at one point was good. Mm-hmm. And let's say Pollyanna-ish, let's say really had a great sunny outlook on life.
Yeah. She probably had a very sunny disposition as a child.
And if we can kind of think about maybe a character that something happened to that hurt her or whatever. For instance, okay, Grumpy told a story that he was in love with this woman that was beautiful as a fairy, as he said. And he was working in the mines for this diamond to, I would imagine, ask her to marry him.
Right.
And he was swindled. And that was the turning point.
Right.
So if we can maybe think about how the evil queen turned, what may have happened? I mean, we know little bits of when she was a child, she said that she grew the apple tree.
Right.
And cut, you know what I'm saying? So if we can think and listen about these little bits that she mentions,
well, yeah,
hopefully she's telling the truth. But, you know, then you can kind of build up this idea of how she was before. Then maybe we can kind of start to surmise or theorize what happened to turn her.
Right.
So anyway.
There's an element of truth in whatever she says, whether she's telling the full truth or not. And I think that we are going to see at some point in time that maybe either we told through a story that she relates, or we'll see it because they'll play it out, how she ended up being the way she is.
Right.
Because she wasn't, I don't think she was always this way, but I think she's been this way for a really long time.
Yep. Yep.
All righty. We have another out of the country email.
Excellent.
This one is coming to us from Bahrain.
Bahrain.
Yes. Hi. I caught your fam podcast on Sunday. Bahrain is 11 hours ahead of California. And I guess I should have been clearer about my stranger theory. I was referring to the wolf featured in the pilot. Wasn't it standing just beyond the sign? And if Jiminy Cricket could become human again when he was under the influence of the curse, why couldn't the wolf? Then this week's episode aired, and we got a few more questions to add to the rapidly growing list. What do those keys open? What does a stranger want with the book? Will he ever get a name? Or did Prince Charming take them all? Will Mary Margaret get an iPhone by the next episode? And why am I channeling old Batman episodes?
Yep.
That's Miriam, who sent us an email last time. So about the Arabic text, I'm not sure exactly what it is you want to do. Oh, yep. This is more for the website stuff. So,
yep. just really quick about that. My intent for that was kind of an invitation in that person's language.
Right. Native tongue.
Native tongue. Mm-hmm. So when they read it, they could be, you know, feeling a connection and say, oh, well, that's in my native tongue. And someone's inviting me to listen to a podcast. Yeah. I know it's in English, but this is really neat. So anyway, that was my intent. So let's talk about...
Okay, so back to her questions and stuff. So the first part was the whole wolf, and if Jiminy Cricket could become human, why couldn't the wolf? Interesting theory because, well, was the wolf human in fairy tale world, and now it got changed into a wolf in the real world? Or am I misunderstanding it? I don't think so.
Well...
But... If he could become human again, if Jiminy Cricket could become human again when he was under the influence of the curse, why shouldn't the wolf?
We had bounced this back a couple of times, and we, you know, at one point it was kind of like human is human and that kind of a thing, but Jiminy Cricket does bring up a valid point, except...
He was human before he was Cricket.
That's true. And also, the Blue Fairy. Hi, Blue Fairy, if you're listening.
Hello.
Hello. hello one more time. If you're listening.
You have a little crush on her, too, like you do for Ruby, don't you?
Possibly.
Okay.
Hi, Blue Fairy. We have a voicemail line if you... Sorry. Never mind.
Okay. So back to this.
Right. So the Blue Fairy did say that... Basically, you can become a cricket to help Geppetto until such a time, right?
Exactly.
So that's the only kind of out I see. But to corroborate kind of what you're saying is that the Rumpelstiltskin, before he became the Dark One, limped.
Yes.
When he became an... received the Dark One's power, he did not limp. But now, when he's transferred over to Storybrooke, he does limp again. So that's that's the only way that I would kind of see where you're coming from is, yeah, Jiminy Cricket is a cricket in Fairy Tale Land. Then he's transferred to Storybrooke. So then he kind of goes back to his original form, which was human.
Right.
So that's the only way I can kind of go there. But the, you know, the wolf is still kind of a mysterious thing.
And here's a thought that just popped into my little head here. What if that wolf really was the one that Graham saw, and they didn't when they did the episode for Graham's death, they changed the wolf's eye color to red and black, but they hadn't done it in the beginning episode, so there's continuity problems. Maybe it's the same wolf. We don't know.
Right.
But anyway, and, just a little thought.
Marlene just asked, did Rumpel get his limp in the war? And that's what we've always assumed. Okay.
Yes, that is true. So, we have assumed.
Yes.
Okay. So, and then, let's see, the other question she had is the keys. What do they open? We've kind of guessed and surmised that possibly other boxes that contain things that would help her get revenge on whomever she wants.
Right.
We don't know. What does the stranger want with the book? I had a theory, and I think I, you know, expressed it a few podcasts ago, that this stranger is the author of the book, and he's now adding to the book. That's what he wants with it. He wants to keep adding to the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know it at some point in time, it seems to have kind of ended. There's no, it doesn't finish. So now that things are starting to happen, he needs to write the book to keep up. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Will he ever get a name? I have a feeling we will find his name. I don't know what it will be. Yeah. I don't know how soon it'll be, but hopefully soon. Did Prince Charming take them all? Take them all. The keys, maybe?
I don't.
She's saying, or did Prince Charming take them all? So I don't know. I don't know what she... I'm assuming she's referring to the keys. But anyway, not sure.
I'm not sure.
Will Mary Margaret get an iPhone by the next episode? That would be pretty funny if she did. Don't know if it'll be the next episode, but you watch a few episodes down the line, she'll probably have one. And why are you channeling old Batman episodes? I don't know, but it's very funny.
Yeah, it is. It is. If you start saying zwang or boff or whatever.
Pow.
Something, pow.
Zowie.
Zowie, yeah. Yep. Then we know we're in trouble.
Thanks, Miriam.
Yep. Thank you so much.
And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, YouTube, Batman.
Yeah, Batman,
Batman
before.
Series, Adam West, yeah. Burt Ward. Great, great old 60s
campy,
television.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very campy. Okay, we have an email from Marlene.
Hi, Marlene.
Hi, Marlene. She says, Jeff and Colleen, hi, glad you're back, Colleen. Thank you. I think Jeff sounded a bit lonely there without you on the First Thoughts podcast. We missed you, too. I missed being here.
It
trust
was really
me.
Weird. It was really weird. I got
to
tell you.
I listened to your podcast, and you did kind of sound a little sad, and I felt bad for you. I did.
I know.
And I missed being here, too. So.
Okay.
Anyway, with the story ever changing, I'm going to change my mind on the stranger. Okay. All right. It's a woman's prerogative, right?
That's right.
At first, I thought maybe he was one of the Evil Queen's guards, but now I'm wondering if his interest in the book is because he's actually Emma's prince. Oh, well, now that's an interesting thought. Some speculation going around is that he is a wolf. If so, then I think he was the wolf in the pilot that stopped Emma from leaving. Now, maybe if he was a wolf, he became that way because of Evil Queen by a spell. Somehow he got separated from the rest of the Fairy Tale Land people and was wandering in the woods, and Emma's appearance broke the spell. He does wear a tooth around his neck that looks to be canine. Okay, so he's interested in Henry's book. Henry told him about the book at Granny's in this last episode, and then he finds it. The last pages are missing because Emma burned them, but they don't say when the book ends. Does it end long after they get back to Fairy Tale Land, or does it end with Emma marrying her prince and living happily ever after? She is a princess. I think we've all forgotten that. I know I did. He knows the book has something to do with all of it, and he is more than curious. I still hold to the fact that he will help Emma break the spell, and it has something to do with their relationship in Fairy Tale Land. Maybe that would make the stranger Henry's father, or maybe Henry would never have been born if the curse had not happened, and Henry's father won't play into it at all. Maybe it's a crazy theory. I don't know. Just my thoughts. Okay, let's talk about that theory.
Okay.
Because it's a fascinating one. And yeah, we've all kind of speculated, is Henry, or is Stranger, hot stranger. I'm sorry. He is very pretty to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But is he the author of the book? Can people hear the sirens right now?
Possibly.
Yeah, fire department down the street, and we get them all the time. Anyway, is he the author of the book? And like she said, I totally agree. The book ended, well, the last few pages were torn out.
Right.
And burned in the fire. And the last few pages, the ones that burned in the fire, were the ones of Emma and her and baby Emma in the baby blanket.
Mm-hmm.
So the story couldn't have ended. I mean, it kind of did, because that's where the curse started, right?
Right.
So what if he's here to help her break the curse by writing the end of the story? So just a little kind of twist on that. And you're right. I keep forgetting that Emma is a princess.
Yep. 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Tority Prism asks, has Colleen seen Covert Affairs? The answer is yes.
Yes. Yes. We like that show a lot, actually.
It reminds me a lot of Alias, another J.J. Abrams show. So, the stranger is in that show.
Oh, that's is
interesting.
He?
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh,
didn't mean to interrupt, but.
I do vaguely remember it. I do vaguely remember him. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Thanks, Film About Ghost. Films
Yay.
About Ghosts.
Oh, awesome. I love that. Let's see. Okay. So let's continue. The tree. After the other the episode the other night, I wondered if the tree in Regina's backyard was indeed the apple tree we saw in this episode. She said the same thing about both of those trees, that she had cared for it since she was a little girl. But then I saw on the blog the photo of the flagpole out there by the beach in Henry's Castle, and that may be the spot, but somehow the tree got moved. There are so very many things to think about in the show. This is why the forum is nice and the podcast. Thank you both and everyone else for taking part in them. Okay, so the tree. I think the tree.
Right.
That is in Regina's yard that Emma took a chainsaw to is the same tree as we saw in the castle. Trees don't just magically move.
Right.
Typically.
Right.
Typically they don't. I know we're dealing with fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they do that. And I think that the castle by the beach, that was James's castle, not Snow White's father's castle.
Okay. So
that's what I think.
So let's tie a few things together. And a few folks have mentioned different things here and there in emails and voicemails. So let's focus on the Storybrooke, Maine. What do they call that?
What?
The crest or the city logo something. What is that?
Hmm.
Anyway, the picture that represents the city, it's on the cop cars. It was behind.
Behind, now all of a sudden I'm drawing a blank.
Right. See, it was behind Regina on the overhead. So what we see is an apple tree.
Mm-hmm.
And under the apple tree is some emblem. Thank you.
Thank you.
It looks like a beehive or something underneath.
You know what it looked like to me? A cave or like the opening of the mine shaft.
Well, okay. It looked kind of different to me.
I'm just saying.
So anyway, but maybe, the city seal. That's even better. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. That's it. The
right,
seal.
Right. So Obie's girl.
Yeah.
Had some comments on the blog about some different spots for, remember we talked about the heart vault and different places that were kind of connected to the fairy tale land.
Yes.
And she was saying what would be interesting if there was one underneath the clock tower, one underneath Regina's house, one underneath, because we have one underneath her father's tomb.
Right, there. His mausoleum.
Right.
Yeah.
So what would be interesting is to have one underneath her house, and underneath the tree is something big. It's almost kind of like the city seal is like a map, like a mysterious map, and it's kind of pointing you to something, and it's very obvious. You know, like a Da Vinci Code-ish, you know, where you study typography or whatever, and it's kind of showing you something, but no one ever really thinks of it. And if that's her main tree,
right?
Well, I would certainly be looking underneath that house.
Well, that's my thinking, because again, if she's the queen in fairy tale land and her husband is dead and that's still her castle, and we know it's still her castle after he's gone,
right?
Because Snow leaves it. So the fact that it's her castle, and the tree is just outside, you know, the castle right there. It's on the property. And she is the mayor of the town, which is the highest position you could hold in the town.
Right.
It stands to reason that her house is where the castle is.
Right.
It's just my theory.
Okay.
Agree, disagree. It's your choice.
Yep.
Anyway. Okay. Next one. We have another email from Hillary. I think it's the same Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
You might think this is spoilery, so I won't type it here, but the stranger's name is listed on IMDb for episode 13. I can't find a connection or a giveaway from the name, though, and I've really been trying. I have so many theories about him, and I'm sure none of them are right. If he's a former thief, he could be Aladdin and maybe somehow used a wish to escape the curse. He's a writer, but I don't think he wrote Henry's book. He's either romantic, sentimental, or stuck in a time warp because he uses a typewriter, not a laptop. Maybe he's a relative of the author of the book and he somehow sensed that pages were removed, so he's come back to add them back into the book. Maybe he's the big bad wolf. He does seem wild and isolated. What I don't get is, if he's a fairy tale character, then how is he a stranger to the town? That implies that he was not transported with the curse like everyone else. Or has he been living in a secret cabin in the woods since the curse took place? Too many questions.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many possible things. So, if he is a former thief, then I would see, yeah, Aladdin could be a potential. And then that would make him a prince. And then he could be married right. to Emma.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
That's great.
And if he is a writer, but didn't necessarily write the book, but is he a relative of the author? And again, the other theory we floated around that actually just came up last, our last podcast was that he could be Balefire, who is right. Rumpelstiltskin's son,
mm-hmm.
in which case he, you know, like you said that, and we think that Rumpelstiltskin maybe wrote the book. We don't know. Again, there's so many theories on that as well. So, Big Bad Wolf, possibly. There's mention of the tooth around his neck that seems to be canine. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's so many. That's one of the things I love and yet get so frustrated about this show is there's so many questions. Like, okay, I just want answers. But then I remember, no. If I get all the answers right now, then the show won't go on for a long time. And I really want it to.
Yep. True.
All right. We have an email from Malini, and she says, "Hi, Jeff and Colleen. I just have some thoughts on this episode, Fruit of the Poisonous Tree. I liked the episode, not my favorite, and I agree with you, because I feel that the puzzle pieces are slowly starting to make sense. The timeline as well is slowly making sense. Belle is, and I'm guessing her favorite Disney princess, and Rumpel being the Beast is interesting. I'm excited to see how that story plays out. I have not given up. I think the show is great. I originally thought the mysterious stranger was Pinocchio, but now that he has the book, I'm going back and forth, and now I'm thinking he may be a Grimm brother, and since Emma burnt the ending, he might be there to rewrite the ending."
Hmm.
Very good theory.
Yep.
I've heard on Twitter and other sites that he could be an older Henry. I'm not so sure what I think about that theory. I think that Emma is not so naive and trusting as she is showing us. I think she's on to Sydney and Regina, and we will be surprised at what we see from her in the next few episodes. Helga and I were talking about how this episode was too predictable, and it was very predictable. But I somehow think that the predictable was on purpose. They purposely wanted us to think that it was predictable, and then one episode, they're going to shock us, blow our minds. Like Lost, we think one thing is happening, and all of a sudden they take you another way. I found it amusing that in both worlds, Regina was using Jeannie or Sydney for her own purpose. Just a side note, Lana Priya was awesome in this episode and I love her. I just listened to Thursday's feedback podcast. My wish is that everyone who is unsure of the show should listen to that episode. You guys made total sense and I hope people stay with the show. Thank you, Malini.
Thank you so much.
And yes. Okay. So for starters, the whole Belle and Rumpel being the Beast. I know that's going to upset some people and I hope that people will see beyond that. I'm sure they will if they give it a chance. And most people I think are pretty sensible, but I know that that's a concern. And if you're not familiar with Emily DeRavin's work, she was fantastic in Lost. She was amazing. So she was sweet Claire and she was crazy Claire. And yeah. She did a fantastic job in both. So we'll see. And again, the trailer that we saw, the teaser for next week, looks like it's that he's the Beast, the actual Beast from Beauty and the Beast. But again, they sometimes twist those right. trailers and, to make yep. it look like it's one thing when it's really not. So mm-hmm. we'll see how that plays out. She originally thought the mysterious stranger was Pinocchio, but now she's thinking he might be a Grimm brother. I personally like that theory, and I think that's come up a couple times. And, you know, there's so many possibilities. I wouldn't be surprised if he is one of the Grimm brothers. Just saying. And then also the whole older Henry. Yeah, I mean, again, comes back to Terminator, you know, coming mm-hmm. back to talk to himself or maybe protect himself from something or write in something that if he didn't write it in, it would end differently. Who knows?
Well, I do like the idea, too, that I forget who sent it in, but there was a great email a few weeks back that the Grimm brothers actually live in the library.
Oh, yeah. That was a while back.
If, in fact, he is a Grimm brother, mm-hmm. I think it would be cool that, you know, one day he just kind of tears the boards off and says, we're open now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That'd be
really neat.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. She's on her theory plot point about thinking that Emma's not so naive and trusting. Oh, I totally agree. I think she's totally onto Sydney and Regina. And I think she purposely did that because she's too smart for that. And I don't think they'd write her making that big of a mistake. Hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I agree with her. And I think they're going to just blow our heads off at some point in time.
Well, blow our minds or something like that. I don't know.
You're right. See, okay. Now I caught your disease.
Yep. All right, then. Watch okay. out, people.
Yeah, I know. and then, Regina using Sydney and the genie, she's just, Regina's evil. Henry was right. She is just evil. I don't have any other words. She's just evil.
And Torty Prism came up with a great thought just here. Maybe the library is boarded up so Belle doesn't have a happy ending. She'd be miserable in a town with no library. That is great. That is a great theory. Yeah. Excellent.
That is so true.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, you know what? I've been talking for a while. I think you need to do the last, this one. But I'll do these two, but you can do this one.
Okay.
All right. Here's, I'm going to read this first one, then okay. I want you to read that one, and I'll read the last one.
All right.
Okay. This one is from Torty Prism. So, excellent. We're glad you're on board with us tonight.
Yep.
I'm really confused about this constant theory about Graham's voice coming through the walkie-talkies. He's dead in Storybrooke, and the Enchanted Forest is past tense. So do you think the walkie-talkie is going to be able to communicate through time and universes, despite there being no walkie-talkies in the Enchanted Forest, to give a reverse signal? And even if there were, why would the Huntsman talk to Henry, who he wouldn't even know at that point in time? I just can't see any point to it that would actually further the storyline, and feel like I must be missing something since you seem so certain it's going to happen. Meanwhile, I'm perfectly certain that there's paperwork making Catherine and David married in Storybrooke the same way Mary Margaret is qualified to be a teacher or Dr. Will is qualified to be a doctor. All fake, curse-created paperwork. But they all never really went to college for those things and never really walked down the aisle. But to me, who is really married to whom is not the problem. The problem is the sneaking and lying. I don't care what they do as long as they're honest about it with Catherine. Sneaking around on her is just disrespectful, rude, and mean. It's mean if Catherine and David are married. It's mean if they're engaged. It's mean if they're simply dating. Catherine believes she's in an exclusive relationship and no one has deemed her feelings important enough to tell her otherwise. I just don't want Mary Margaret and David to be sneaky liars who don't care about being honest with anyone but themselves. Anyway, I'm not disillusioned with the show, even if I think Fruit of the Poisonous Tree is perhaps the weakest episode so far. Still enjoying the podcast. Thanks for all the hard work that you're putting into it.
Thank you.
Now, we've had this conversation many, many times, and I think the reason why you, Jeff, are so convinced that the walkie-talkie thing is going to happen is because we saw something similar to that in Lost.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it wasn't that somebody was talking from beyond the grave. They were, the signal got picked up right. from a tower, a looped recording mm-hmm. that, so it seemed like somebody was talking to them from somewhere else. But it's, every time we looked at it, it was always somebody really talking through. So,
I think what I bring to this podcast co-facilitator table is the ideas from stories. Now, they're not based in hard, cold facts, but they are kind of interesting uses of things. And so the idea of the walkie-talkie and Graham actually came from Star Wars, in that the idea that the sage dies, and so the young Padawan or the young student has to kind of go it alone. How are they going to go it alone without their master who taught them all their tricks and all the things? And so what Lucas came up with was this voice that, and this appearance of this the master later. So, you know, and even in the Bible, we have the same kind of appearances after death and different things.
Right.
So it's that kind of idea. But when I saw the walkie-talkies and I thought of Graham being dead and the idea that they kept – I keep hearing things in little bits. I don't read all the interviews, but I kept hearing that Graham will return. And the only way that Graham could return, based on what Torty Prism is saying here, is in a disembodied voice in Storybrooke through the walkie-talkie.
Sure.
You don't have to be alive to be a voice, a spectral voice of some ghost or something, right?
Right.
And so that was my thought. I totally get where we're coming from here.
Sure.
But, I mean, that's just what I thought, to kind of fill in the idea that Graham will return. How? And so that's what I was saying, a voice on a walkie-talkie that is being used now.
But the question is, have the writers or whomever is saying that he's returning, have they said Graham is returning or Jamie Dornan, the actor who plays him? Because remember, let's face facts, we have not seen the last of Jamie Dornan. He's going to be the huntsman in there has to be another episode, at least one. I would hope more than that, but I'm sure there's more where we're going to see him as the huntsman. So he will be back on the show. There's no question in my mind.
Right.
But as far as Sheriff Graham, I don't know. I'm not going to rule it out and say it's not possible, but it's one of those things that's, and I know you always tell me to do this because I'm very lawyerly.
You are lawyerly. I still love you, but you're lawyerly.
Yes. But I have trouble sometimes with suspension of disbelief. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we would have to have in order for this to happen. But if there's one thing I do know about the writers of the show and how they handled things on Lost, they will, I'm very confident, handle this with, I can't think of the word I want to say, but I think they'll do a really good job of it. I think they'll do justice to it. That's what I was thinking of.
So anyway, I just wanted to kind of bring up where I was coming from and why I thought that. So,
So now, as for the whole Catherine and David sneaking around and lying and cheating, I agree with you. And it disappoints me that Mary Margaret, who again started out as a sweet, innocent, you know, teacher, she's sneaking around with him.
Right.
I also agree. I don't think Catherine and David are married at all either. I think everything's all fake paperwork. These people didn't go to colleges. They didn't, you know, get married. Nobody remembers any of this stuff happening.
Right.
So, I mean, I agree.
Go
ahead.
Okay. We kind of talked about this last episode, is I think the romantic hurdles are going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to be taking some time to kind of work itself out. So, yeah, it's not going to be tied up in a tight little bow in the next two episodes.
They're making it complex and complicated. Mm-hmm. They have to in order to keep everybody's interest. And by the way, if their goal is to get everybody to start talking about this stuff, succeeded. They definitely succeeded.
And that's what I was about to say too, is that you've got two kinds of groups. You've got the groups that are like, you know, this is a kid's show and these people are married and how can you do this? But then there's the others like, no, but they're meant to be together. I mean, we've seen them in fairy tale land and this makes sense because anyway, so
has there been any point in time other than Regina and Graham where we've seen anybody or heard them talking about intimate relationships? Mary Margaret and David, all we've seen is that we've seen them kissing. We have no
idea. Dr. Whale.
She said a one-night stand.
Okay,
and again,
but I'm just telling you.
I know.
You
But I'm saying we never saw any of that
stuff. I understand.
Stuff. So I don't trust when they say things.
Okay. Well, neither did I. But I mean, you just said.
But I'm just saying. Okay. But other than she said they have a one-night stand and we talked about this, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I agree. I mean, Fruit of the Poisonous Tree was not the best episode in my mind, but I still love the show and I'm looking forward to the next thing. So, Can I
read mine now?
Please do.
Okay. So this is from Obie's Girl. Hi, Obie's Girl, if you're listening. Let's see. Hello, Jeff. I watched the episode the other night, and there were a couple of curious things I noticed. We have some blind characters on Once Upon a Time. I mean, how some characters were blinded by their desires. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Cinderella blinded by the magic of her fairy godmother's wand that she stupidly made a deal with Rumpel about without thinking of the consequences. And Fruit of the Poisonous Tree, there were a couple of characters who were blinded. In the fairy tale world, the genie was blinded by love. And in the real world, Emma was blinded by her anger and desire to expose Regina. And she failed to see that Sydney was tricking her the whole time. And Sydney was blinded by Regina's manipulations. And that's exactly true. Mm-hmm. Now, I also wanted to point this out. Is the last time we saw Emma in a similar situation with a room full of people in front of the city, mm-hmm. she did the right thing.
Yep.
In this situation, she did the wrong thing.
Right.
And so I just want to kind of point that that difference in there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll continue. I want to ask about the genie, a.k.a. Sydney's fairy tale world alias. The genie was a likable character at first, kind and sincere. He only had two wishes, and to be free and to find true love. Snow White's father, King Leopold, freed him, and he was very kind to him. The third wish was that the genie could wish for anything that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
King Leopold told him to go to his castle, meet with his daughter Snow and his wife,
mm-hmm.
whom he called Regina.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the genie laid eyes on Regina, trouble started brewing. Queen Regina was clever throughout the fairy tale parts of the episode. My initial thoughts were when I first saw the promos for this week's episode, we were going to see the evil queen before she was the evil queen, but that wasn't the case. Turns out Regina was already scheming and playing the genie since the moment she met him. The whole I'm sad, lonely, I hate it here because the king keeps me trapped was an act. She looked so miserable that you almost believed it. But her tricks started revealing themselves very early. I'm almost sure that when King Leopold summoned the genie to his room and he told him that his wife had a secret lover because he read it in her diary, that Regina purposely left out her diary for Leopold to read. And I totally agree.
Oh, yeah.
When Henry came to the castle and gave the genie, Henry Sr., came to the castle and gave the genie the box of snakes that were conveniently from the genie's homeland. That was not a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
It was Regina's plan all along to set up for the genie for the king's murder. I know Google doesn't exist in the fairy tale world, but I'm fairly certain that Regina knew exactly who the genie was or researched him. Regina tricked the genie into killing her husband with the promise if he would, they could be together. But the moment the genie finally realized how devious she was, I almost thought that he was going to expose her, but no. After the manipulations and lying, he still loved her and wished that he could be with her always, thus trapping him in the mirror. Thus proving not only the fairy tale characters we're all going to see are going to make smart choices. Sydney, the genie, is definitely one of those.
Yep.
Let's see. There was also the first episode we didn't see Regina use magic.
Oh, yeah.
So she either chose not to use magic in order to keep up the lonely wife act or didn't have the power yet. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it was the first. We also heard the mention of Snow White's mother, and King Leopold married her because she was the fairest of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me wonder if maybe Regina somehow killed Snow White's mother. I don't think it's impossible, since she definitely did have a hand in the death of her husband, so it's not far-fetched to think that maybe she could have killed Leopold's wife.
Mm.
If Regina did kill Snow White's mother, that would be very similar to the premise of the Tim Burton Sleepy Hollow film. How disappointing was it that the Wicked Queen's fairy tale world name would be the same as her real world name? I was expecting something different, something fancy. But Regina means
queen.
Queen.
Mm-hmm.
So Some other thoughts. Regina in the real world modeled the child's new playground in the woods after a castle in the fairy tale land. That's
yes.
true. And a number of other podcasts have said that's the most unsafe playground I've ever seen in my life. I would not want any kids playing there. They could, you know, that's crazy. Falling on some pointed thing.
There were sharp points everywhere with that thing.
Let's see. Sydney, a.k.a. the genie, is still under Regina's spell in written storybook. The stranger has Henry's book, which begs the question, why does he have it? And that's a huge question. And what's he going to do with it? Also, I have a new theory about the identity of the stranger. I think he's part of a team of writers, specifically two writers who happen to be brothers. And he is the elder of the two.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is one of the Grimm brothers. And he came to Storybrooke to not only rewrite the ending of Henry's book, but the entire book. I'm also really glad that the genie was not the evil queen's lover. I would hope Regina would set her standards a bit higher and hook up with a young, sexy man and not someone like Sydney's fairy tale counterpart. Well, but we've heard from people. Some people really love Sydney, boy. There's some
Giancarlo
love.
Esposito. Oh my God.
Boy.
There's
some love out there for Sydney. So.
Yeah. We were told if we ever hear anything from him, we're supposed to pass on hello from this person. So, yeah, okay. You never know.
All right. As far as the timeline, the flashbacks in this episode, the fruit of the poisonous tree set it just before the events of The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, since we saw how King Leopold Snow White's father died. By the way, there's no episode of Once This Week, but it will return on February 12th. That's so true. It's very sad. And there's another hiatus later this month, too. Wow. That's right. Yeah, there is. Look forward to hearing the podcast, Obie's Girl. Thank you so much, Obie's Girl.
Yay.
Great insight.
Yes. Yes. Lots of good insight. There's always good insight. We have awesome listeners.
She's great.
All right. Last email.
Okay.
All right. This is from Johnny. This is, yet another great episode of Once Upon a Time. Here are my top five from tonight's episode, good or bad.
Dun, 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 dun.
You ready?
I got to give a little sound or something.
You don't have the sound effect ready?
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, come on. I'm so shocked.
I don't even know where it is. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, you're going to have to make it up then. You're going to be the sound effect because I'm reading.
Okay.
So you're on your own. Okay, number five.
Dun, 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 dun.
The car accident or crash when Regina, or Sydney actually, cuts the brakes was a bit cheesy. I found myself laughing. It was dramatic and the crash itself seemed very staged. Yeah, we did kind of find it a little cheesy. I did anyway.
You know, the one thing I did expect is Emma to say, really? Really? Because she does that when bad, weird stuff happens.
She does.
Expected her to say, so... Jennifer Morrison, if you're listening, I mean, that's the one thing I would ask. Just next time that kind of thing happens, just say, really? I'm pumping on the brakes. Really?
Really?
Anyway,
yeah. No, she didn't say that. Number four.
Dun, 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 dun.
It was very obvious that Sid and Regina were working together, yet it was interesting to see it all develop. Regina's using him just like she used him in Fairy Tale, the poor schmuck. When is Emma going to realize that she needs Rumpel as an ally? Even if he's working and doing things according to his own agenda, I would take him as a lesser evil. I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yep.
He's not a love interest for Regina, by the way, in my opinion.
Okay.
That doesn't quite jive.
Well.
It just doesn't.
We'll
I'm
see.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's me, but anyway.
We'll see.
So, but yes, he's definitely a lesser of two evils, and I don't think he's evil at all. Number three.
Dun, 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 dun.
The show touched upon different technology this episode. For anyone who thinks that Storybrooke is stuck in some type of technology dark age, it isn't. We saw Regina's office get bugged, mention of GPS systems, home alarm response system, internet, cell phones, etc. So there must be something else to the fact that they are cut off from the rest of the world. We did touch upon that. The funny thing is if you watch from the beginning to now, the technology seems to have advanced pretty rapidly, which actually doesn't surprise me, because if you actually look back in the real world, and I don't mean the show's real world, I mean literally the real world we all live in.
Right.
If you look back at technology, it really has exponentially grown and keeps doing so.
I think one day that Henry's going to be missing and they're going to find him holed up in the house watching MTV. they're going to run in. He's going to say, look at this. Music television. It's like music videos. This is really cool. But anyway.
Is he going to be watching Duran Duran? Is that what it is?
Yeah, maybe.
No. We also talked about the fact that we think that because Emma stayed in the town and the clock started and time started, that's why it's rapidly increasing in technology. And they don't know why they know those things. They're just spouting off words that, you know, all of a sudden make sense to them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Number two. Yo.
Dun, 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 dun.
Wow.
Doing two things at the same time.
Stop it. Giancarlo Esposito is a superb actor. He plays the best villain in TV show history over on Breaking Bad, so it's interesting to see him act as a genie / magic mirror in the show, but he pulls it off yet again. I cannot speak for his acting in Breaking Bad because I've never seen that show. Mm-hmm. I've heard it's very good. It keeps getting all kinds of awards, but I have not personally watched that show. But I'll take your word for it because I think he's a pretty good actor. I think they all are. I mean, we've said this 1,000 times before, but I'm going to keep saying it. I mean, not just the principals.
Right.
You know, not just Lana, Ginny, Robert Carlyle. Those people, they're phenomenal. But the little, you know, the other actors as well. I mean, the dwarves and, you know, Henry and
yep.
All the other characters. Ruby.
Right, Ruby. Oh, yeah, Ruby.
Oh, yeah, Ruby.
That's right, Ruby. She works in Granny's Diner and
right.
Okay.
Granny.
Good.
I mean they're all really amazing actors. The casting is very well done.
Uh-huh.
All right. Whatever. Okay. Number one.
Dun, 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 dun.
Interesting twist having Regina as Snow White's stepmother. We are seeing great development in the storylines and background on why Regina is how she is now. I almost feel sorry for her at certain points.
Yes.
Yes. And we expected Regina to be the stepmother. I think we kind of figured she was her stepmother before this, but this definitely solidifies it.
Yep.
And, I have to say, I'm just watching through rose colored glasses, but I really was fooled by her at the beginning. And then when I realized, wait a second, this is Regina we're talking about. And I really was expecting this to be her, what we call turning point
mm-hmm.
episode where we would see, oh, this is how she became evil. And then crap, she was already evil.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, he says, I also keep reading things online regarding Storybrooke and Fairy Tale, and many viewers believe that the scenes and background story is happening simultaneously or that they are flashed sideways and that if a character dies in one world, then he or she can still be alive in the other. I believe the writers have clarified this point and shown us the rules quite clearly. Things happening in Storybrooke are happening now in present day in our reality. The fairy tale stories are flashbacks. They are stories that occurred in the past. For example, Prince Charming's twin brother is dead in the flashbacks. Therefore, don't be expecting him in current Storybrooke. As opposed to Sheriff Graham, he died in present day, but we can still see him in flashbacks as part of Snow White's story in fairy tale. I believe if Rumpel can travel between fairy tale and Storybrooke, then he isn't going back to anything or anyone in particular unless he took someone back with him or he didn't include certain individuals in the curse. As for everyone else, they are in Storybrooke. They don't have any doppelgangers living in another reality. And if a character dies in Storybrooke, in our reality, then dead is dead. Keep up the good work, guys. Hope you enjoyed tonight's episode.
Thanks, Johnny. Thank you so much, Johnny. Appreciate it.
Yeah. We've kind of talked about this. We go back and forth on it, but I kind of tend to agree. Look, if they were dead in fairy tale world, we're not going to see them in Storybrooke.
Right.
If they're dead in Storybrooke, we may still and very likely will still see them in fairy tale world.
Yep.
Just, we've seen that. That's just kind of the standard operating, you know, procedure.
So one more email I'm going to read. This is Dave from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's giving us some information to help us through this week without Once Upon a Time. So here we go.
Okay.
And I'm so glad Dave from Michigan's in listening live.
Yay.
You mentioned on the last podcast about the great way that Wicked makes you look at the story differently. It made me think of a play I had seen done on my college campus and then found on Netflix starring Bernadette Peters called Into the Woods.
Mm.
It takes Jack and the Beanstalk, Cinderella, Red Riding Hood, and a couple of others and make them all intertwined. I would recommend you all and your listeners look into this if you have Netflix. For your fix this week, since Once Upon a Time is not on because of the Super Bowl. Dave from Michigan. Thanks so much. That's a good. I have heard of the play. but I've never heard of a film version of it. So
no,
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the end of the show.
It does.
That's it. I want to thank everybody.
Oh yeah.
Big love goes out to folks in the chat room that are chatting away. This is a great group because they love to interact and talk to each other and all this. And it's just incredible. So thanks so much. Big love to all the listeners, all the download folks, all the folks in Bahrain, all the folks in Buenos Aires. Where was the other countries?
South
Africa.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
And all over the place, Canada, the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so, so neat. So thanks so much, everybody. We obviously there's not going to be any first thoughts tomorrow.
No.
So we're going to take a night off. And we'll be back again for the regular episode on Thursday night or Friday morning. So big love to everybody.
Yeah.
Take care of each other. And we will talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
See you guys. Bye-bye now.